Good morning, my friends, and welcome to yet another installment of Weekend Update. From high above all other pedantic and puerile forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. Sitting behind the Cowboy State Politics silver microphone, I'm David Iverson, your illustrious host. And I'm broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. Yesterday, I published the only real debate that has happened this election season. A debate is an intellectual exercise, well, at least it's supposed to be, between two opposing points of view. The idea being that the participants answer each other point for point and go back and forth and weigh the issues that they're discussing. There are only a few political debates that Americans really remember. Of course, there was the Constitutional Convention. I doubt very seriously, however, that many people really remember the substance of that debate. They just remember what came out of it and some of the participants that were involved. Then there are the Lincoln-Douglas debates between Abraham Lincoln and Stephen Douglas. These took place over an entire summer and into the following winter. The only topic they discussed was slavery. This would be unprecedented today. How could it possibly happen that two people could debate one topic for the better part of a year? The answer to this is that on most questions, there are a multiplicity of perspectives that could be examined. And then there was the debate between Richard Nixon and John F. Kennedy. And no one really remembers what they talked about. They only remember that John F. Kennedy looks a heck of a lot better on TV than did Richard Nixon. And who could forget the debate between Ronald Reagan and Walter Mondale? Age had become an issue in that race, and it was brought up at their second presidential debate. This one's a classic. Have a listen.
You already are the oldest president in history, and some of your staff say you were tired after your most recent encounter with Mr. Mondale. I recall yet that President Kennedy had to go for days on end with very little sleep during the Cuba Missile Crisis. Is there any doubt in your mind that you would be able to function in such circumstances?
Not at all, Mr. Truitt, and I want you to know that also I will not make age an issue of this campaign. I am not going to exploit for political purposes my opponent's youth and inexperience.
And in our most recent example of political debates, there was this one-liner.
And I do know how to make those decisions. I do know what's a life and death decision, and I do know what's things that we can sit and listen to. I know all about leadership. Other than a horse to water, I'm not sure what my opponents actually led.
We need bumper stickers of that one. Debates are important for a couple of reasons. First of all, it allows us to get to know the candidates, know how they think, know how they react when they're challenged. But also, it tells us how they think, what their first instincts are when they're under pressure. Do they react with thoughtfulness and composure, or do they get angry and lash out? Here's an example of the latter of those two.
People, these surrogates attack me. I didn't come here for that.
You can dish it out, but you can't take it.
I didn't come here to get attacked.
I let you step down, sir.
Okay. I'm done. I'm not answering any more questions.
Oh, so when he's challenged over things that he said, Rex Rammel gets frustrated and storms off the stage. It kind of makes you wonder what would happen if he was challenged about natural resources or perhaps his plan to kick the feds out of Wyoming. Would he stand there with composure and not storm off of that stage? Well, see, this debate told us the opposite of that. And it also told us how Colonel Brent Behan reacts when he's under pressure. He stayed on the stage for over an hour and a half while Rex Rammel relentlessly attacked his military record, accused him of not understanding the Constitution, and claimed that Colonel Behan was not qualified to run for the office of Wyoming governor. In 30 seconds, Colonel Brent Behan basically handled all of it.
Okay, well, I tell you, bringing family members in here is a little out of form there, I guess, in form for you, Rex. What I will tell you is the disdain for anybody who's taken a federal paycheck is unbelievable by my opponent here. And I tell you, there's a lot of folks out there who have served this great nation, okay, who have, and it was my choice to serve this nation, and I'm very proud to do it. You know, whether it's my wife, my brother, my father, whoever, all of them. and all the folks out there. I mean, it's just an incredible opportunity to be doing that. Thank you.
Boom. But you see, none of this would have happened without an actual debate. Candidates have to be put under pressure to see how they'll react in that situation. That's exactly what happened Thursday night in Buffalo. But there was also some pre-debate drama. I'll tell you about that in just a second. But first, some completely obscene self-aggrandizement. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps. iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There, you can find all of the shows, as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Sleepy Joe Biden, and you have no idea what's going on, well, you can go to cowboystatepolitics.com, pull up an article, and educate yourself, just like you should have been doing before your afternoon pudding break. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by 307 Cowboy Country. They are central and southeastern Wyoming's full line of Montana shed dealers. So if you're looking for a backyard shed or a greenhouse or maybe even a garage, you should call my friends Bryce and Melody Reese at 307-441-1815. Montana Shed Center, buildings for life. As I mentioned, there was an attempt to stop this debate before it ever got started. Yeah, like I was really going to let that happen. But anyway, some surrogates of current Johnson County Commissioner Bill Novotny attempted to prevent the debate moderators from participating in the event. Now, the debate was moderated by the Buffalo High School chapter of Turning Point USA. The goal of this whole endeavor was twofold. The first of which was to bring gubernatorial candidates to Buffalo, Wyoming, and make them debate. It just so happens I've built the connections to make that a possibility. The second goal of the Thursday night event was to get young people involved. Since we had an enormous opportunity to bring some candidates here and have a debate, it seemed only logical to include the high school chapter of Turning Point USA in the event. We can all agree that we need more young people involved in our political process. And what better opportunity than to give them the opportunity to question people who are running for Wyoming's governor's mansion? Holy cow, what an opportunity. I don't know of any high school student who can put that on their resume, except the two young ladies that moderated Thursday night's debate. Now, the reason why these two people tried to shut the whole thing down, and you'll notice that I'm not mentioning their names, and that's for a specific reason that I'm not going to give them any more credit than I absolutely have to, because they tried to ruin a huge opportunity of two students' high school career for their own petty political purposes. The reason why they tried to prevent Turning Point USA from moderating the debate is that the group that sponsored the debate, the Patriot Conservatives of Wyoming, of which I am the chairman, vehemently opposes, the candidacy of Johnson County Commission Chairman Bill Novotny. That's why. Small town petty politics. To their credit, after the debate had concluded, the both of them commented that it was a good event. Maybe they should have just stayed out of it from the very beginning. But this speaks to a larger issue in our politics, that we get so wrapped up in it that we don't care who we damage. We don't care what opportunities we prevent from happening, just so long as our candidate wins. This is the philosophy of the ends justifying the means. By definition, that's the philosophy of the left. That it doesn't matter what happens, how we have, what we have to do, who we have to hurt, that we get to our end goal. That's what matters. And the truth is, the logical result of that line of thinking can lead to some really horrible results. Let me give you one more example, and perhaps this better illustrates what I'm trying to tell you. At the Johnson County Fairgrounds, now there is a giant American flag. And it was paid for by a private individual to the tune of $6,000. Now, it's so big that it required a giant flagpole. And several members of the community donated to put the flagpole up and to make the whole thing happen. I'm telling you, the thing is really incredible when you drive by it. So on the opening night of the Johnson County Fair and Rodeo, a concert was held, and they took a little break to do a little dedication ceremony for the flag. And they thanked everyone underneath the sun who made it happen, except the person who paid for the flag. Think about that for just a second. Without a flag, the flagpole is just a giant piece of steel in the air, and it serves no purpose. It doesn't take Sherlock Holmes to figure out why there wasn't a thank you to the person that paid $6,000 for a giant American flag. I theorize that it's no more complicated than petty, small-town personal politics. You see, a family member of the person that paid for that flag is running for a precinct position against one of the members of the fair board. It appears that not even giant American flags can be excused from politics. And far be it for somebody to do something awesome for their community. Now, it wasn't until a couple of days after the concert did it finally come out who paid for that flag. But then, of course, the time had passed, and probably not that many people even noticed. But that's not really the point. The point of buying that flag was not to get recognition from the community. In fact, that person is very humble and leads a very private life. Her point was to do something amazing for the community, to get us a giant American flag that can be seen from a long ways away. That was her point. And for the person that is on that fair board to use it for her own petty political purposes is despicable. But it speaks to a larger issue, and it tells us where we're at in our politics, that many people embrace the ideas that the ends justify the means, that it doesn't matter what they do or who they hurt, so long as they achieve their political end. That apparently nothing is sacred anymore. If this is where we're at, all of us should take a step back and examine what it is that we're doing. It used to be that there were at least a few things that were off limits in politics. That you didn't attack or impugn somebody's military career. That we were to leave a person's family out of a political affair. And when somebody deserves a thank you for doing something for their community, we give it. It's called just plain decency. And it would appear that that's something that some of us, to our profound shame, have forgotten. We need to get back to the place where we can have vicious political fights and then go sit down for a cup of coffee afterwards. And just because we disagree with someone politically, that doesn't mean that we dislike them as a person. Now, that may very well be the case, but we should make our best effort to let it not be the case. Now, all is not lost, and just let me give you one example. After everything that happened on Thursday night, and I played for you a couple of excerpts earlier in the program, Rex Rammel walked up to me and shook my hand and thanked me for putting on a fair debate. That is what he ought to have done, and he did it. And let me just give you one more. Across the state, people have received mailers that on the front of it say a person's name, a candidate's name, and it's always a conservative, and it says, all hat, no cattle. And there are some pretty scurrilous accusations listed below it. They were sent all over the state. Now, many of the candidates have come out and disavowed any involvement in those flyers, and I tend to believe them. But let me just talk locally about the House District 40 race. I doubt very seriously that Barry Crago had anything to do with that flyer being sent out, and I certainly don't think that he would have written those things about Richard Tass. I don't think that Barry is responsible for the text messages that have irritated so many Johnson County and Sheridan County citizens. I just don't think it's in Barry's character to stoop so low to the things that were written on that mailer. I might be wrong about that. I don't think that I am. But I think it's the decent thing to do, to just tell everybody I can that I don't think that he was involved in that. So let's get back to the place where we leave the petty personal politics outside of the political arena. Let's leave all that petty stuff behind and remember that there are some things that ought to be off limits. Well, that'll do it for this installment. I'm headed down to watch the Johnson County Fair and Rodeo Parade. Later on today, I'll publish yet another interview with a candidate who is running for the state legislature. Until then, from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.